Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
The late great Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. That song is called Nexus. It's the first song of his Innocent Age album. It's an awesome double album that I promise you, if you buy it, you'll be glad you did. That's me telling my age, right? Buy an album. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I have been around a while. I've been to town at least twice. I'm glad you're here. I'm very excited about having our good friend Bill Brandt. That's him laughing at me in the background. Hey, Bill, don't be laughing at me. I know what year you were born too, Bill, so don't be laughing at me.
I'm only laughing, Jim, because my VCR is still blinking midnight, so we're on the same
channel. Is it midnight or is it noon? Which one is it? It's just 12.
I can't figure it out.
But it's right twice a day. The good news is it's right twice a day. Hey, Bill. Folks, Bill Brandt, as you know, is one of our great global thinkers. He's one of our China experts, which I'm going to get him to talk about in the next segment. Bill, one of the things that I've been observing now for a decade or more is what I consider to be the irrational valuations of Wall Street, and I'm trying to figure out where are they getting these profits. How are they making these profits drop to the bottom line when for the lost decade, but after the crash, we had 2% growth. Main Street was in a lost decade. Where are they getting those profits? We now know they were resisting redundancy. They were going to single sources, to the cheapest place they could get them. A lot of it in China, and those chickens have now come home to roost. And I want you to talk to us about if you agree with me that one of the main parts of the conversation going forward, not even from investors, not even from CEOs, and even the analysts, are going to start requiring companies to prove their redundancy. What do you think?
So let me tell you a very short story. You recall in the early part of this century how the automotive industry was getting beaten up because they were treating their suppliers. They had run their suppliers to razor-thin margins. The value being captured in the profits in the automotive industry was largely being captured by the manufacturers. They were making their suppliers run on very thin margins and almost killing them. And then you saw what happened in the Great Recession and thereafter, when General Motors and all the others hit the wall. And frankly, the suppliers thinned out because there weren't a whole bunch of them. There weren't redundancy, and many of them filed bankruptcy. This is the next wave. 10 years on, everybody else figured up that supply chain management, if you basically push your suppliers to a razor-thin margin with the exchange promise that you continue to take stuff with them every day on an airlift, on FedEx or somebody else to your plant, it'll work. And obviously, it only works until there's a hiccup. And then it's even worse when the hiccup happens, as you were saying in the earlier segment, and you discover that if the hiccup happens and your supply chain is trapped in China or Malaysia or Vietnam or wherever, all of a sudden you've got no incoming raw material to produce. You stocked no inventories because you were trying to stay lean enough to just produce pure profits and not have to pay the carry on the inventory.
Right.
That's a 21st century way of doing business until there's a problem, and now there's a problem. And so I suspect the net effect of this is, as we were talking just briefly between the break, is you've got two segments to look at here beyond what we're dealing with now. You've got a six-month segment of what I call the sort of putting the toe in the water. I will tell you, as you sit here today, I will give you an absolute prediction. There will be no Republican or Democratic national conventions in August. Nobody is going to put 35,000 to 40,000 people in a stadium for 4 days on end. They're going to go virtual, and that's going to be symptomatic of what's going to happen. Your baseball season, if it even happens, is going to be truncated. Your hockey and basketball seasons are over, and your football season next year may not begin.
This colleges are already saying there may not be any fall sports.
Well, I have a bunch of friends who have kids who are high school seniors. Mm-hmm. Not only is there no prom and no graduation ceremonies, but there's no freshman orientation coming in September likely. It's just a change of experience. The issue will be until there's a vaccine, like there was for polio when we were kids, when our parents used to send us away to summer camps in the early 50s. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to get back to normal. But then there's the thereafter. And the thereafter is, as you pointed out, a lot of the stuff has to come back on shore. We cannot be in a situation where if a global pandemic happens again and supplies or raw materials are trapped in China, we don't have any Z-Packs, we don't have right. any antibiotics.
But not just these critical things, though, Bill. I mean, I'm coining a new term that I'm claiming it because I haven't heard anybody else use the term. I'm saying that if you're an American company, you don't have to. You're going to bring a lot of your stuff back to the United States, but I'm not even going to gig them if they don't bring it to the United States. I'm saying let's start practicing hemispherization, not globalization, but hemispherization.
Yes. I was about to say, Jim, you know, look, if you can put the maquiladoras in Mexico are not largely affected by this. You know, there is obviously a border closure between the U.S. and Canada, but obviously if you can get on a surface transportation basis access to your goods, it's going to re-hemisphere a lot
right.
of this stuff.
Somebody on the show earlier said that Mexico is going to be the new China. What do you think?
You're probably getting carried away. I think China is still going to be around, and the systems we have been 40 years in the making, so they're not going to be undone at once. But folks are going to poke around for the absolute issue and the word you were using, mm-hmm. redundancy. Just like the United States keeps an oil reserve and props up occasionally the prices, I would expect at some point states and the governments are going to keep a redundancy reserve of PPE and the rest of it. And when you talk about, hey, we have to pay a higher price because we're manufacturing
we'll
in the U.S., maybe not so much because, frankly, if the value
Bill,
for purchasing...
Bill, hold on to that thought, Bill. I got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. When Bill comes back, I'm going to get him to give us a report on China. Where are things at right now? Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.